grandmother in this church. For those of you that aren't quite sure what that means, one of the cows had a calf not too long ago, and there was a story last week that I shared. But we went up for Christmas after we had an unbelievable experience at the Agape Center Christmas morning, which you'll have to wait just a few minutes for me to tell you about. But I will, I promise. But Dave and I were talking around the family dinner, and he was saying, because he rents this wonderful 8-acre farm where he is, and he's put a lot of work into it, he said, Mom and Dad, he says, I'm really thinking about, you know, moving out of here. And of course, we said, why? And he said, well, because I'm on a month-to-month lease. Basically, the owner can tell me adios, amigo, anytime. Don't think it's going to happen, but maybe it will. So we said, well, what are you thinking of doing? He says, I'm thinking of buying 20 acres, not far from here, and we'll take our motorhome, and we'll go live on the motorhome for a year or two, and we'll start slab by slab building our house. I said, are you really committed to do what living in a motorhome is going to be like? He said, we can do it. I said, then that's something, if that's what you want to do, then you should go for it. And I said, if you're willing to make that commitment, because ownership is a whole lot better than renting. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a message in that for you and me, because a lot of us in our Christian walk, we go through life renting our time with Jesus Christ. Rather than taking ownership, if you will read the shofar, and I highly recommend that you do, there's a young lady sitting down here by the name of Mary Zerbel who's sitting with the Brimleys. And there's a message in there about Mary and the influence that this church has had on her, and by the way, she on us already. And I encourage you to read it. But the phrase came up in our conversation about taking ownership. And what she was implying is she hasn't been in too many churches where the Word of God is faithfully preached Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we're all challenged, including the pastor, to become all that God has called us to be. That's taking ownership. So what I want us to focus on this morning, this first Sunday in the new year, is taking ownership individually of our lives with Jesus Christ. If we will do that individually, it is going to have unbelievable impact on our life. It's going to have unbelievable impact on our families' lives around us, our neighbors, our places of business, wherever we go. That is sharing, and that is the shining of Jesus Christ in our lives. So we need to be intentional this new year in taking ownership of the extraordinary gift that Jesus Christ has given you and me. And as always, before we talk about him, let's talk to him. Father God, thank you for the babe in the manger. Thank you for the gift. Thank you each year, those of us in this church are mindful of who is the reason for this season. But because we never take our eyes off of your son Jesus, we're then charged up to go out and change other people's lives, to give to those less fortunate. And so, Father, may we never, ever lose sight and take for granted the unbelievable gift of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, truly, truly, in spite of the absolute flaws in this messenger, may you get the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 6 that I just shared with you said this: now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. It doesn't say what you might do. It doesn't say what you could do. It says what you must do. Therefore, it's a command. It's a command from God for Saul back then and for you and I this morning. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, and let us consider how to stir one another, to love and good works. T.M. Moore, in his book entitled The Book of Pastoral Rule, and I would recommend every elder to read this, and certainly every pastor, he wrote a book entitled The Book of Pastoral Rule. And if you want to feel guilty or inept, just read it on a daily basis, like I try to do. He wrote recently, and he was quoting Gregory the Great. I think he was around the time that Bob Brindley was first walking the earth, around 575 A.D. But we have 2,000 years of wonderful Christian history. You're getting this on tape, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But they talked funny in those days. They wrote funny in those days. But boy, did they say it. So let's listen up. He writes this: differently to be admonished are they who do not even begin good things.
and those in no wise complete such as they have begun. For as to those who do not even begin good things, for them the first need is not to build up what they may wholesomely love, but to demolish that wherein they are wrongly occupied. For they will not follow the untried things they hear of, unless they first come to feel how pernicious, now that's his words, I'm going to tell you that simply means injurious or ruinous, for they will not follow the untried things they hear of, I'll repeat it again, unless they first come to feel how pernicious are the things that they have tried. It should be obvious to us all that they talked very funny back in those days. They also wrote rather funny in those days. But let me decipher for our modern ears and hearts this morning what Gregory was saying many, many years ago. He was saying that redemption and walking with God leads to good works. That's one of the all-time great battles that Paul had with a number of other people of his day. Because you see, there's a lot of churches to this day. There are churches this morning that are preaching that good works is one of the only ways you'll get into heaven. As Steve Brown would tell you, it smells like smoke. It's from the pit of hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. Works have nothing to do with heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way Amen. You get to heaven. But if you know, and you hear me say this, if you know, not here, here, if you know Jesus Christ, then you got to do good works. It's a natural extension. You love to do good works, and we're going to talk about that in a little while. It just goes hand in hand. He also knew, Gregory, that it was the pastor's job to stimulate those who are not inclined to good works in such a way as to get them started. First, he insisted, you have to show them that they're wasting their time on useless, even pernicious matters if they are not occupied with the works of the kingdom. From day one, we have been intentional with the amount of money that we contribute to missions. The budget is in, you'll find it was almost 21%. I don't think we've gone under 19 the entire 7 years we've had a church here. We continue to grow. Look around. We're growing. We're growing because Jesus Christ is lifted up here. We're growing because the Word of God is faithfully preached every Sunday. We're growing because God knows He can trust this church with more responsibility. You see, I want to grow this church because there's so many needs. The needs are unbelievable in this community. And we will address the needs that God puts in front of us. So as we continue to grow, as we continue to tithe, as we continue to share the gifts God's given us, God is going to grow His church. And why not let it continue in 2012? When you and I fail to read and follow the Word of God, then we're not doing anyone any good, least of us ourselves. In this new year, I want to use this message this morning to challenge all of us how to reevaluate where we are in our walk with Christ and how we can do even more in growing His kingdom in the Homestead area. We will accomplish this if we take ownership of our lives and rededicate them even more fully to Christ and His plan for our lives. In reality, it really is all about letting Christ take ownership of our lives. It really is. So, what do we do first? We learned this morning already, get up and go. The first part of verse 6 says, get up and go. It was directing Saul, who would soon become Paul, how he was to move on in his new walk with Christ. All of us, no matter how long we've been walking with Christ, need constant reminders of not taking our eyes off of the prize of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get that prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but you and I do it to get a crown that will last forever. How do you and I get this crown? We acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We keep our eyes focused and our hearts focused on Him. James 4:8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw near to Him, and He promises. He doesn't suggest. He doesn't say maybe. He doesn't say you're not qualified. Somebody came up to me the other day when we were talking about qualifications for being a deacon. And that person said, I'm not qualified to be a deacon. They said, bingo, you got it. No more than the elders are qualified to be elders, or I'm qualified to be the pastor of this church. The church is the only organization in the world where your lack of qualifications is your reason to be involved. It's proof of your membership. It's the truth. There's not one of us that's qualified to be in here. By the grace of God, we are. What a gift. Draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. You and I live in a world filled with distractions, oh, do we, and false promises that have us reevaluating even our walk with Christ. Even our churches are watering down their message in order not to offend anyone. Please, brothers and sisters, Christ didn't die for you and for me so we could feel good about ourselves. He died to save us from ourselves. When you and I fail to read and follow God's word, when you and I fail to take ownership of the life God has given us, when you and I fail to allow God, not man, to rule our lives, there is no crown, there is no prize for any who choose to follow that lifestyle. We need to be living a life that nurtures, not neglects, our spiritual being. As the world's ideals seep into our lives through the media and the secular influences, it distracts us from the biblical truth. And we begin to view God's word through the culture's lens rather than through the Spirit of God. Can we be honest this morning? There is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of every one of us. And unless we take responsibility for our own lives and allow God to have ownership of what His Son died for, we are lost as individuals, as a generation, and as a country. We need to guard our faith with a solid truth of Scripture that will always point us in the right direction, always show us the right way, how false and how shallow the secular way really is. We need to stand up and get up and go towards God and His Word as fast as we can and allow Him to nurture that walk we need with Him. Instead of allowing man's ideals to soak into our hearts and minds, let us draw closer to God and the absolute truth of His Word. We need to get up and go. We need to nurture and not neglect. Someone recently told me they had gone to a marriage counselor asking for help. And one of the great pieces of advice they got was, have a date once a week. I then asked that person, well, when was the last time you had a date? 5 months ago. When I inquired as to why, I was told, well, there's just too many daily distractions to be doing that. May I suggest this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of distractions. The problem isn't with the distractions. The problem is with the commitment. You and I need to be committed to Jesus Christ. We need to not allow the good advice that so many people get from reading God's Word to allow the things in our day-to-day life to distract us from doing what God has called us to do. Believe it or not, He really does love you. Believe it or not, He really does want the best for you. Believe it or not, He really has a plan for you and your life. You just have to turn your pride and your ego over and let Him lead it. James was absolutely right about how God works when we are intentional in moving in His direction. God moves toward us. We just finished celebrating the greatest movement in the history of the world, Jesus leaving His home in heaven and coming to earth for you and me. 13 times in the Bible, Jesus is quoted using this phrase, I have come. John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name, or for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. John 6:38. You and I need to be in God's Word in order that we fully appreciate the love that He has for every single one of us. We draw near to Him because He's already paved the road to His house with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's already provided our sun pass, if you will, to get to heaven, and He's patiently waiting to hear from us. Now that we know He's come, what in the world are we waiting for? God's promises are as good as the one who made them. And He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. For 2,000 years, He's faithfully waited for His people to respond, and He's still waiting. He's still in love with us. He's still waiting for us to respond to His love, to His grace, and to His mercy. I love this expression. Mary C. Crowley, in her book, Be Somebody, used to say, every evening, I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night. Think about it. I don't ever put
companies down unless they really mess up. But let's just say I have a little frustration with State Farm these days, and we've been working close to 30 years. However, they have a very, very clever ad running right now. Features a man talking on the phone, and you see a clock in the back, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And you see him talking, and all of a sudden, here comes his wife around the corner with smoke pouring out. She just knows who he's on the phone with. She said, "Give me that phone." She said, "Who is this?" She said, "This is the insurance man from State Farm, ma'am." The point is, State Farm is there 24/7. But let me tell you, the only insurance you ever, well, if it's earthbound, Joanne's good at it. But if it's earthbound, Jesus Christ is the best insurance you could ever possibly have. I couldn't resist Joanne. Jesus is up all night too, my friends, and he only provides the insurance answers that really do matter. Since we have 2,000 years of proof that he came as promised, shouldn't we be intentional about taking ownership of his promises? Shouldn't we be nurturing instead of neglecting his word in our daily lives? So we need to get up and go. We need to nurture and not neglect. And oh, do we need to take ownership? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you washed a rental car? When was the last time you made the bed in the hotel room? You probably haven't. I haven't. Why? People don't wash rental cars. Really, people don't make beds. Why? Because they don't own it. You take care of what you own. So we need to take care of the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. We need to take ownership of that responsibility. The motivation of ownership is missing in those other situations. And the same is true in the church. We need to take ownership of what we've been given. Until and unless we feel a degree of ownership, we're going to treat the church and God like we treat a rental car or a hotel room. The things that you feel passionate about and love are the things which you identify yourself with and feel a certain degree of ownership. Taking ownership of our lives is really all about letting God have His way in our lives. It's acknowledging that God is the primary mover in our daily lives. It is buying into the fact that God really does know best and realizing that we need to become partners with Christ as we journey through life. How do we become a partner? You allow Laura Donnie, the chaplain of Agape, would you come up here with me? To talk you into, at the last minute, 40 shoeboxes for women who aren't going to have any other Christmas. I mean, she set this up so beautifully because it was the truth. And so along with the 100 plus other shoeboxes we made, we came up with 40 shoeboxes specifically for women. You see, over the years, we've made probably close to 700 shoeboxes now, and we've given them out. But most of us have never had the privilege of seeing them opened, right? So Christmas morning, our friend over here decided that the Donnies, the Shivers, and the Brindleys, and Mary, we would have the privilege, because we did Christmas Eve service here the night before, that we would get to go to the Agape House at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, the line of communication wasn't thorough. They weren't all up and out of bed waiting for our grand arrival, so we had to kind of wait a little bit. But they all get up when they heard we were there. And what took place for that hour or so has changed my life. I will never forget it. One of the best Christmas days Joanne and I have ever had. The joy of what took place in that room. The look on those people's faces when they opened up. Because you see, we also, because of her, asked you to put a personal note inside every one of those boxes. Were they appreciative that they got the box? You bet. But as I learned later, and that's what I want you to share, they shared some things with you about our visit. Why don't you share with them?
Two things. One is that morning when we were all there and watching them open their gifts, I literally saw women crying. That touched me so much that they literally were crying to have a gift for just them. And then when I went back and they were sharing with me, they said, you know, it was wonderful getting the gifts. That was the best. But it was really your being here that meant everything to us. And I heard that over and over again. It's great to get a gift, But it's the showing up. It's the being present. It's the showing up that matters.
Showing we care. Showing God cares.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for being a part of it.
Now, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. I was so impressed with the need. There also were at least several ladies there, mothers, with children. I didn't expect that. I thought there would just be ladies there. There are certain circumstances that everybody allowed for that. So that even breaks your heart and tweaks you even more. But what I thought would be appropriate, so I checked with my buddy back there, and I said, what if I volunteered to come once a week or every other week? We'll try it out. Not to do a, quote, religiosity church service, although there's nothing wrong with that. How about we get in a room, shut the door, and talk about God? Any question whatsoever they want to do. Any question they might have. Any question they want to ask. And let's see what happens. She thought that was
spectacular.
See, it's about being real. It's not about being religious. It's about sharing and showing the love of Jesus Christ. That's what partnering is all about. That's what taking ownership is all about. Who knows where those relationships are going to lead? But if it helps one woman over there, it's worth the effort. And I would suggest with the feedback we're getting, it's helped several women, including, by the way, we ended up with four extra boxes. You know how many helpers were there that morning? Four. Every single woman there got one of my favorite expressions. That's a God thing. Taking ownership means that we seek the heart of God and ask Him to give us the same heart. When you and I have the same heart as God, we'll rejoice when others are joyful, be sorrowful when others are full of sorrow, and we will anticipate what God will be doing next. Anticipation is all about starting each day asking God to expand your territory. The Jabez Prayer. He will, by the way. Asking God to allow you to help someone in some way each week, allowing you to witness to someone in order to fulfill your calling as a Christian. And may I be bold enough to suggest that if we all do this, watch how Speedway grows in the year 2012. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As this new year unfolds, we're not home yet. When we are, everything will be prepared in advance for us to do. Meanwhile, there are decisions that you and I have to make. Choices really do have consequences, ladies and gentlemen. When the matter concerns our soul and eternity, there are no greater consequences or decisions that need to be made. When we go our own way and neglect to seek the heart of God or refuse to spend time in His Word, He will take ownership, and it won't be pleasant. Consider Adam and Eve, or David, or Jonah, or Judas, or Saul, and countless others. When you and I draw nearer to God and vice versa, mutual ownership becomes a reality, and meaning and joy and purpose set in. Let me challenge all of us this morning to allow God a voice in our hearts. Just as Saul, who became Paul, did, and history shows us what change that accomplished. Listen, pruning is never easy, but the finished product of a life well lived is worth it all. I pray that each one of us will take ownership of what God has given us and allow the real owner to take his rightful place in our lives. God bless you. Happy New Year.
Amen. Pray. Amen.
Father God, on behalf of Speedway Church, we truly acknowledge your ownership of this church. We truly thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the extraordinary gift of your word that changes every single person that reads it with an open heart. Father God, may we be a congregation that never takes for granted the gift of your Son. And Father, now we get to take him into our bodies through a communion service. Father, may we understand the privilege we have in giving out the elements and in the receiving of the elements. Father, it is just wine, it is just bread, but it's what it represents. It is the taking ownership of you in our lives
that is so meaningful. As this new year unfolds, Father, may we never take our eyes off you. And may we, 1 year from now, look back and say, wow, taking ownership made all the difference in the world. Amen.
Amen.
From bottom.